Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza, working on this pre-recorded program, The Remote. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Friday, September 17, 2021. Health officials in South Sudan tackle maternal mortality.
And it's one of the priorities of Ministry of Health because during childbirth, mothers can get exposed to a number of complications if they are not attended to by a trained midwife. And also the newborn can also get exposed to infections and other complications, and they need to be attended to by a trained professional.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The transitional government of national unity has paid 650 lawmakers in South Sudan some settlement allowances. Each member of the National Assembly was paid 1 million South Sudanese pounds, equivalent to $2,400. And members of the Council of States also got some payments. Each member was paid 800,000 South Sudanese pounds, equivalent to $2,000. South Sudan has 550 members of the National Assembly and 100 members of the Council of States. Government workers told this program on Thursday that they have not received salaries for June, July, and August. South Sudanese diplomats have also not been paid for many months. From Juba, we move to Jonglei, where a court in the Jonglei state capital has dismissed all charges against 8 traditional chiefs detained 2 weeks ago. The 8 chiefs were charged with treason, sedition, and sabotage. Justice John Yell, the presiding judge in the case, says President Salva Kiir is the only person allowed by law to confirm such charges. The chiefs have welcomed the ruling, saying they were targeted by certain individuals within the Jonglei state government. For VOA News, Dengai Deng reports from Bor.
Justice John Yell says the charges leveled against the 8 traditional chiefs from Duke County were not procedural. Justice Yell says the chiefs were accused of serious crimes.
The case against the chiefs, one of the sections that they have been accused is Section 66. The Section 66 is the crimes against the state. The crimes against the state, there are issues to be taken, at least under Section 44. It is the President of the Republic of South Sudan. He is the one who can give a permission for that. And for the Chief Justice is to form the special court. For this requirement are not being met on that case. So the court takes decision that the case to be dismissed under Section 44 and read together with Section 226, Criminal Procedures Act 2008.
Justice Yell ordered authorities to immediately release the chiefs from police custody. He says both parties have the right to appeal the ruling within 15 days.
The chiefs are set free because they are not fulfilled the requirement that are needed under Section 44 for the accusation against anybody under Section 66.
Paramount Chief Deng Mabur welcomed the court ruling. He accused certain unnamed Jonglei state officials of targeting the traditional chiefs.
The court has dismissed the case against us and set us free. We are happy with the court ruling because there was no reason to humiliate us. The commissioner is appointed as the leader of the community. If there are differences with him, the state government should facilitate the dialogue to resolve the matter.
Deng, the prosecuting lawyer in the case, says he will present the court ruling to the Jonglei state government and decide on whether to file an appeal. Chief Mabur says Commissioner John Chatim is no longer fit as the leader of Jonglei state.
The commissioner has rejected us, the community, by putting us in prison. We are the community leaders, not a criminal. He should respect us. now unless he convene us on how to work together again after such humiliation. Otherwise, he doesn't need us.
Police detained the 8 traditional chiefs, including Duke County Paramount Chief Deng Mabur in Bor Town, more than 2 weeks ago for rejecting the appointment of Duke County Commissioner John Chatim. The chiefs were later charged with crimes against the state, including treason, sedition, and sabotage. For VOA News, I am Deng Gaideng in Bor.
South Sudan's Undersecretary in the Ministry of Health says her office has invested in the establishment of health science institutes to train nurses and midwives to ensure good maternal and newborn care. The World Health Organization says South Sudan is among countries with high maternal mortality in the world. For VOA News, Sheila Pony reports from Juba.
World Health Organization say South Sudan experiences high child mortality because many pregnant women don't have safe environment for delivering their babies. A 22-year-old South Sudanese woman, whom we are referring to by her first name, Agnes, to protect her privacy, says her second pregnancy turned out to be very traumatic. Agnes, who had firstborn baby when she was 19, had an emergency C-section recently at Giada Military Hospital, where she lost her second baby shortly after birth.
I was moving for antenatal to Juba. So when I was for labor, they brought me here. So they see that the labor, my labor is not progressing well. So they have to take me for CS. They say that my heart is small. I cannot push the baby. The baby is big, so they have to take me for CS. So the CS is not well done. And I don't have blood. That's why I'm still here for this long. And this one is also through CS. But unfortunately, I lose the child.
Mothers and newborns continue to die in South Sudan due to lack of safe delivery services, as well as physicians' inability to diagnose and manage complicated deliveries, according to the World Health Organization. The Undersecretary Ministry of Health, Dr. Victoria Majur, acknowledged that in an unsafe environment exposes mothers and babies to risks which may result in the death of the mother, the newborn, or both.
And it's one of the priorities of Ministry of Health because during childbirth, mothers can get exposed to a number of complications if they are not attended to by a trained midwife. And also the newborn can also get exposed to infections and other complications, and they need to be attended to by a trained professional.
According to United Nations and the World Bank, South Sudan has one of the highest maternal mortality rates in the world, with 1,150 deaths per 100,000 live births. Dr. Majur says the Ministry of Health has embraced a community-based healthcare approach to provide safe maternal and newborn.
Through the community model of care, the Boma Health Initiative, we have among the Boma Health team, a team member that deals with maternal and child health so that women are attended to at early stages of pregnancy to make sure that any complications are detected earlier. And that's why we are pushing and advocating for all women to attend antenatal clinic.
Dr. Marine Thorne works at the Department of Gynecology at Giada Military Hospital. Dr. Thorne says the hospital has good facilities and provides safe deliveries of babies.
There is a well-cleaned delivery room. We use gloves. We don't use the unsterilized instruments. These are good for both the baby and the mother, because if the mother delivers in unsafe conditions, she may end up having puerperal sepsis. And puerperal sepsis can complicate into the other complications like maternal death.
Agnes, who gave birth to her first child, is encouraging mothers to come to well-run healthcare facilities to deliver their babies.
I think it's the best thing. I suggest to give birth in the hospital, because some mothers like us, these are what we call the risky mothers. You can't deliver at home. You can't deliver anyhow, anywhere, unless otherwise in the hospital. Then the doctor will be the one to maintain you. The doctor will be the one to know how to treat you. And it's very, very important to be in a hospital because it can really save one's life.
Today is World Health Patient Safety Day, a day dedicated to increasing global awareness of patient safety, public participation in healthcare, safety, and promoting global efforts to prevent patient damage. The World Health Organization is focusing this year on safe maternal and newborn care by calling all stakeholders, in its words, act now for safe and respectful childbirth. Dr. Fabian, the World Health Organization country director in South Sudan, says WHO and other partners are working with the Ministry of Health to improve conditions for women during childbirth.
We are all born, isn't it? And we are alive because we are born in a very safe environment. Globally, and of course regionally and country-wise, we still lose mothers during childbirth. We also lose children at delivery. So it's important that maternal and child health is really safe, okay, to minimize or prevent completely the morbidity and mortality that may result because of the childbirth.
The World Health Assembly established World Patient Safety Day in 2019 with resolution on global action on patient safety. The day also aims to bring caregivers, healthcare workers, and communities together in order to improve patient care and safety. For VOA News, I am Sheila Aponi, reporting from Juba.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. Coming up, we look at how climate change has affected your country. Find out more after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
when was the last time you told someone you appreciate them? And what was it for?
I don't remember the very last time, but what I can remember now is telling my girlfriend that she was beautiful. She is beautiful and I can't just let her go.
Just this morning, I did appreciate my daughter for the progress that she's made and for working so hard and for everything that she's doing, you know, trying to learn things, doing this. There are many things that she's really surprising me for. So, yeah, just this morning, I did that.
2-3 days ago, it was just to say thank you and show more encouragement. It was my daughter for coming first position in school, and I needed to appreciate her so that she can continue on that same track.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Linor Mudu. During this pandemic, the World Health Organization and Africa Centers for Disease Control say if you have a fever, a cough, or have trouble breathing, you should stay home and contact a healthcare facility. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest health news.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and U.S. Centers for Disease Control say coughing and sneezing can spread COVID-19. Physical distancing, staying at least 1 meter away from people outside your family, can protect everyone. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. Scientists from several organizations that monitor and assess the state of the Earth's climate system One, the world is not on track to meet the target of the Paris Agreement to limit global warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius by 2050. The United in Science 2021 report provides a compilation of the latest climate science. For VOA News, Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva.
The report warns greenhouse gas concentrations in the atmosphere are continuing at record levels, committing the planet to dangerous future warming. It notes the last five-year period has been the warmest since record-keeping began in 1850. Scientists say rising temperatures due to human activity are causing higher than average temperatures in the Arctic, Europe, and Asia. They are increasing the frequency and intensity of floods, droughts, wildfires, storms, and other extreme weather events throughout the world. Secretary General of the World Meteorological Organization, Petteri Talas, says weather events that used to happen every 100 years now are happening every 20 years because of climate change. He warns they will occur with even greater frequency in the future if the world does not limit warming to well below 2 degrees Celsius by mid-century.
Now we are heading towards 2 to 3 degrees warming instead of 1.5 to 2 degrees, and it has been shown clearly that it would be beneficial for the welfare of us human beings and the welfare of the biosphere and the planet to reach even the low limit of Paris Agreement 1.5 degrees.
The report notes that COVID-19 has had no impact on climate change. It says pandemic lockdowns and economic slowdowns reduced air pollution for a time and was beneficial for human health. However, this was only temporary. Now that societies are opening again, it says carbon dioxide emissions into the atmosphere are growing. Talas says mitigation measures can reduce the release of greenhouse gas emissions into the atmosphere and reduce climate change. But for this to happen, he says people must change their daily behavior.
If we fail with the climate mitigation, we would have a permanent problem for at least hundreds or even thousands of years. And both the economic and human well-being effects would be much more dramatic than this COVID pandemic, which has been hitting us all in a dramatic way.
In a foreword to the United in Science report, UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres warns time is running out. He says all countries must commit to net zero emissions by 2050, backed up by concrete long-term strategies to prevent further irreversible damage. He says these pledges must be made now for November's UN Climate Change Conference in Glasgow to be a turning point in the fight for the survival of the planet. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
From Geneva, we move to the United States, where cases of COVID-19 infections is on the rise, affecting job market in the United States. Associated Press Washington correspondent Shaga Megany reports.
The number of Americans seeking jobless benefits rose last week by 20,000 after hitting a pandemic low the week prior. It's a sign more infections may be leading to more layoffs. The Delta variant spread has slowed the economy in recent weeks, with many Americans holding off on travel, hotel stays, and eating out. Jobless claims have been falling steadily for 2 months, coinciding with the scaling back of jobless aid for millions of people. Sagar Meghani, Washington.
Still on COVID, the United States is working on new COVID rules for international visitors. AP correspondent Mike Gracia reports.
New vaccine requirements for incoming international travelers are under consideration by the Biden administration as it looks to revamp current COVID-19 restrictions. Contact tracing of international travelers would be a part of the new system. White House Coronavirus Response Coordinator Jeffrey Zients said Wednesday, with the recent increase in COVID-19 cases, the current travel restrictions will remain in place until a new system is rolled out. The U.S. currently bars entry to most non-Americans who have traveled to China, India, the United Kingdom, and most of Europe, Brazil, and other countries in the previous 14 days. Mike Gracia, Washington.
Let us know what you think about issues in our news. My colleague Nabil Biagio is ready with this week's listener comments. Over to you, Nabil.
Thanks, John. We heard from many of you this week about delays in implementing the peace deal, such as Stephen Musema Julius Ilia from Yumbe Town, who writes, "In a situation where peace becomes hard, most so-called politicians tend to use delay and excuse tactics to push issues ahead, not knowing citizens are tired of all their excuses. We need peace, not money, thanks to the team." Reth Dak Lam from Matodaror County, Jonglei State says, "Hello, South Sudan in Focus. This crisis in South Sudan, it has no end unless international communities remove these leaders of South Sudan by force or impose elections. What I also hate from US presidents is always giving condemnations to people who do not want peace, like President Salva Kiir and others. I am hoping the US conference taking place now in New York will end the crisis of South Sudan. We are tired of sanctions and condemnations. Thanks, South Sudan in Focus." Malwalda Machok from Juba writes, "Since the revitalized peace agreement marks 3 years and many chapters remain untouched and the time is running out, I am appealing to the government to expedite security arrangements and the full implementation is paramount to pave the way to free and fair elections at the end of the transitional period." Jacob Dior Machweng from Euro Lake State says, "The resignation of Rajab Mohandas from being a signatory on behalf of all civil society organizations shows he did not sign the 2018 peace agreement wholeheartedly, but just a betrayal. Why couldn't he push the government of national unity to complete other chapters of the agreement rather than forming People's Coalition for Civil Action that may take the country back to chaos? He must be ashamed of his actions. The government should know now that there are many Thomases in the agreement that need to be proved wrong by implementing the agreement quickly." Maker Mangola Chen from Ethiopia says, "Our beloved nation needs elections, not wars. Innocent people died during the wars. They are displaced. They are stranded due to a lack of food and we call it revolution, which it is not." Moses Manuel Deng from Juba writes, "It is worrisome that the agreement signed 3 years ago hasn't done anything to us, the ordinary people of South Sudan. The 3-year time frame which was meant for the peace agreement to elapse has passed without any achievements. This agreement was a cheat to the people of South Sudan in the first place. No security, violence all over the country, refugees not repatriated, IDPs is still in displaced camps and nothing at all has been done." Jackson Iyada from Juba says, "I am very happy with you people doing great work. Your work is very interesting. Keep updating us." Someone who left no name writes, "Good morning, VOA. We are not getting your news on the website. Do you have some challenge in posting it to the site?" Someone who calls himself Emma, who did not offer a location, writes, "VOA is doing great by updating South Sudanese and Africa on current affairs. John Tanza and colleagues, I appreciate your work. South Sudan is becoming another Nigeria where armed men demand ransom from NGO workers every time they meet." Saber Isaac Hamis in Yambio, Western Equatorial State says, "South Sudan peace guarantors must make sure that each South Sudanese citizen understands why the time frame given for peace implementation has elapsed, because the agreement signed in 2018 is the roadmap to peace and delay or failure counts on IGAD and the guarantors, because they failed to pressure parties to the peace deal to follow and respect what they inked on paper." Robert Nyombe in Bidibidi refugee camp writes, "Hello VOA, thanks for this program. I have a suggestion that at least you should focus on South Sudan news only, such that it will reflect the name of the program." Mal Adau Mal in Bortown says, "Hello Nabil Biagio and John Tanza. Rajab Mohandas' resignation is a better sign, because if the situation isn't productive, then why does a patriotic citizen stay in it? All was summarized by Professor Peter Adwok Nyaba on Tuesday when he said what is in Juba is a big scam, not government. I enormously agree." Angonga Iwen Lueth from Sharikat Juba says, "The news from the WFP office regarding the inadequacy of funds to continue supplying food for the IDPs is very late and unwelcome. They should have informed the IDPs earlier in order to prepare enough for life without WFP support. This is a wake-up call to our government officials that work only for their own bellies and families, that always depending on foreign aid when we have oil flowing to the world market is poisonous." Yankee Jada Yuana from Juba says, "I agree with the complaint of the civil servants regarding the issue of delayed salary payments. What will the 2,000 SSP per month buy in South Sudan if a 50 kg of maize flour is sold at 11 to 12,000 SSP? This is a serious matter. The government has to do something better. Many thanks to John Tanza and Nabil Biagio for updating us on what is happening around the globe. Peter Goj Anyang Majangdul in Block 3, Bortown says, the decision made by WFP to cut food rations for more than 10,000 displaced persons will have negative impact on the population who are majorly depending on food aid across the country, as 90% of the country is displaced by either intercommunal fighting or devastating flooding, forcing people to live in camps with dire needs of humanitarian assistance. Mabor Aladringo from Rumbek Lake State says, the emerging floods across the country is a big threat to the people. Therefore, it is the work of the Minister of Humanitarian Affairs and Disaster Management to visit such areas to assess the flood victims so that they can be provided with food assistance, drugs and sleeping materials. I thank the government of Lake State that visited Atiaba, which is the most affected flood area in Rumbek East County. John from Juba writes, dear John and Nabil, I'm very sorry for what other dictators in South Sudan are pronouncing that peace is existing. There is no peace in South Sudan if government soldiers are looting civilians in Ye Town. Stephen Zaza from Mauna Juba says, I personally do not understand for how long shall we suffer like that, and yet our leaders are saying that things are alright. Oh God, have mercy upon our leaders because they do not know what they are doing. Lado Samson from Juba says, I urge all motorcycle riders, commonly known as Boda Boda, in Juba City to ride cautiously, lest you all die of accidents, as the rate of Boda Boda accidents is on the rise in the streets of Juba City. Please, I beg you all to value your life, the life of the pedestrian and that of your passenger. And finally, Daniel Dudmajog from Rumbek says, we civilians, we can't believe whether the peace agreement will help us because the agreement took many years without change in the country. The economy is still poor in the country, conflicts still high, unknown groups usually attack some other groups. My question to government officials is, why do you extend elections every year? The views expressed here do not reflect the views of this program or of VOA. Thank you to all those who sent us your comments. We appreciate it. Keep them coming.
Keep your comments coming. Our WhatsApp number is +1 202 630 8011. We reserve the rights to read your brief comments every Friday. That's all we prepared for you this Friday. We now leave you with the song Junubia by Mawa.
Loves me for real. Every day she let me know she's never gonna let me go. She just told me, boy, I love you. I don't wanna spend another day without you. For better, good, rise or fall. Every day she want me some more. The best thing ever happened to me. Better than anything before. Kalamal gali, you my girl. Makes me feel like I own the world.
We've been listening to Mawa and the song Junubia. I'm John Tanza. Thanks for being part of our evening. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you're in public places to protect you and others from getting COVID-19. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there's no cure for coronavirus. Join us again next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Shalakala.